The NFL playoffs are better with FanDuel because right now new customers can bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, guaranteed. That's $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. FanDuel, an official sportsbook partner of the NFL. 21 plus and present in select states. First online real money wager only. $5 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets which expire 7 days after receipt. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
89% of business leaders say AI is a top priority. But with AI tools popping up everywhere, how do you separate the helpful from the hype? The right choice is crucial, which is why teams at one-third of Fortune 500 companies use Grammarly. With over 15 years of experience building responsible, secure AI, Grammarly isn't just another AI communication assistant. It's how companies like yours increase productivity while keeping data protected and private. Designed to fit the needs of business, Grammarly is backed by a user-first privacy policy and industry-leading security credentials. This means you won't have to worry about the safety of your company information. Grammarly also emphasizes responsible AI, so your company can avoid harmful bias. See why 70,000 teams and 30 million people trust Grammarly at grammarly.com/enterprise. That's grammarly.com/enterprise. Grammarly, enterprise ready AI.
You're listening to Talk of Champions, an Ole Miss Spirit podcast with Ben Garrett.
It's up.
Hello again, friends, and welcome, at least for me, not for Clem, inside the Riverland Roofing Studios, the little house up top, Riverland Roofing, for all your roofing needs. Riverlandroofing.com, 662-644-4297. Few, if any, are doing more for Ole Miss in the NIL name, image, and likeness space than Riverland Roofing. So give them some love. Show them your support. Rebels helping Rebels. They're the reason why Judd Uttermark is now doing a podcast for us. Judd, you going to be a key lineup regular for Ole Miss. Well, at least it looks that way. Things got to play out. You know, they got to actually play the games in 2025. So our friends at Riverland Roofing, we thank them. Billy and Scott, we're praying for you. They're going through some stuff. Judd, you, a new episode coming very soon. But now I sit with the hitting coach of Ole Miss baseball, my friend Mike Clement. Hey, buddy, how you doing?
Hi, Ben.
Hey. What's going on? How are you? How were the holidays? How was Christmas? And now, you know, official practice is coming up on the 15th. Then it's an inter-squad. Then it's the season in February. So how has everything been going for you, both personally, professionally? How's my friend Clem?
Personally, great. It's great. It's here. I think everybody knows it's here because all of our guys, or most of our guys, take a winter intercession class, which started Monday, and so you know it's close to baseball season because it was 65 last week. It's 30 degrees. It's time.
How are you gonna handle Icemageddon 2025 tomorrow?
There's no way it could be as bad as last year.
Look, right? Man, I lived through the 94 ice storm here in Mississippi, and yeah, I think it could be pretty awesome, pretty gnarly, right? So if it does come down an ice storm, granted, it'll probably be gone by Monday because, like you said, today it'll be 17, tomorrow it'll be 68 and cloudy or sunny. It doesn't matter. What do you do? Do you take the family out and do the whole sledding and all that kind of stuff? Are you one of those grumpy old dads who get mad at the snow?
No. I grew up in Iowa. I can maneuver a snow shovel. Snow blower. Don't have one. Don't need one here. But the Clement fam will, I'm sure, get out a sled or two and try to keep all of our limbs intact, navigate some trees. But yeah, I think we'll participate.
But you're right. It does kind of signify that baseball is here. It seems like every time we talk around this time of year, there's some crazy weather event going down in Mississippi. Like I said, the 15th is the first practice, then an inter squad, then you are playing ball. You are going into the 2025 season. Right now, on January 9th, as we record this, 2025, where do things kind of stand? How's the coaching staff feeling? I know one thing that stuck out to me in a recent Judd U is Connor Spencer, y'all's closer, said that last year, you know, we all know that it went wrong and it's the second year in a row where things went bad. But he said that it was very clicky last year in this group. There's definitely not that. It's more of a team, a cohesive group. Everybody's enjoying playing with each other. And it's more of a team unit than last year was. Do you kind of sense the same things, kind of where things are right now?
It certainly feels that way. And listen, you would hope it would on January 9th, right? You know, no lineup has been made and no one's frustrated that they're not in it or that they're not pitching on Friday or playing shortstop and we haven't lost any games. So, you know, some of that stuff, once, you know, you hit some adversity, either personally or as a team, some of that stuff comes to the forefront and you think back to, you know, everyone talks about the leadership on our national championship team, but that's really where it came in, right? Like, we went through some rough patch and guys personally went through some rough patch, but that's where, you know, Elko and Bench and Graham, and the story is, you know, been told a million times, but that's where that comes in. So important, you know, it's not necessarily hitting a ball out of the yard or throwing a ball 95 miles an hour. It's about how they can keep things together. You know, baseball, you play so many games and you can get in a rut and all of those things. And those guys held it together great. And obviously we haven't done a great job of that the last couple of years. The refreshing thing, I think, collectively about this group of players, it's hard to figure out in the portal and how quickly all of that happens is, you know, what kind of human beings you're going to get and how they work with their teammates and are they about team and all of those things. But it certainly seems like the guys we got, and it was pretty calculated, especially from the position player side. We wanted some older guys that had college at bats, and we have a couple guys that it's their last year. It's their last run at things. And so, you know, they're in it to try to win, and that is refreshing and that's fun. And I think that's a little bit about what Spence is talking about. But yeah, certainly at this point in time, it feels that way. They're a fun group to be around. There's not a ton of maintenance to them. There doesn't seem to be a ton of egos from that standpoint. They like to work.
What excites you right now about this team and what keeps you up at night?
Yeah, I think on the field, all the stuff I just said excites me, but you know, the objective things that I would say is I think it's as much pitching depth as we have had in my decade here. It's knock on wood, we're healthy. Obviously, you know, that's a huge part of the last 2 years is, you know, our most prominent pitcher from the prior year, Elliott, 2 years ago. And obviously he's been out both of the last years, and then Xavier Rivas the next year, you know, both of those guys go down, and that's a huge blow. And hopefully that doesn't happen again. Joel deserves a ton of credit. The pitching depth is really, really good. You know, we're going to have 10 to 15 guys deep of guys that all of us in uniform are really going to trust when they run out there. So, you know, he and Mike have their hands full as far as what those roles look like. But that certainly excites me. And then on the position player side, we have a lot of guys that may be new to this place, but have a lot of college at bats under their belt. And so, you know, that part of it is exciting. What keeps you up at night? I guess I think more from the position player side, you know, there isn't anyone in this group. Now, there's some guys that I think you or me or anybody who follows the program closely know have the potential to have big years and have had an element of success. But it always feels better if you have the All-American coming back. You know, you have Jacob Gonzalez or Gray Kessinger or, you know, fill in the blank of all the good Tyler Keenan, Anthony Servideo, all the good players we've had that have had really good, say, sophomore years, and they're back for their junior year, come back for their senior year. And we don't necessarily have that. Now, Luke Hill had an element of success, and Campbell Smithwick had an element of success. Will Furness has had some success, but not the ultimate success, not all-conference, all-American type guys. So, you know, you have to have those guys. You know, you can't – it's really, really hard to have success at a high level without dudes. And so, now, I certainly think those guys and others can be dudes. They just haven't done it yet. And so, I guess – that would be the answer to the latter part of your question. You know, just want to see who's going to, you know, whatever the analogy would be, take the bull by the horns and go be the dude.
Hunter, what's his velo? And that's obviously going to be a story to follow all year. This is a guy that was an ace when they when y'all won a title. I don't say they when you're on the call with me. When y'all won a title, and then 2 years of being injured and trying to come back. I heard that he's up to like mid-90s, low mid-90s right now with his fastball. How is that sustainable for a guy coming off of injury? What are the concerns when you're monitoring? Yeah, we want to see him throw 94, right? But, you know, right. Where is he and making sure that you have him for the long term of the season? How do you just handle a Hunter? I know you're the hitting coach and not the pitching coach, but from a coaching staff standpoint, how do you go about doing that? How do you make sure that you actually have him, you know?
Yeah, well, if there's a positive with him being out for 2 years is it's not the guy that's 12 months off of surgery, you know, like he is, I don't know, 20 months off of surgery. So from an injury perspective, there's not a ton of concern. I don't know if I said that the right way. There's always injury concern with pitchers, right? Like it's a not normal motion, all that stuff. Mm-hmm. And you have to take care of them. That's not what I'm talking about. Like, his elbow is healthy, you know, from that standpoint, and you feel much more comfortable with him, whatever it is, 20 months off of surgery as opposed to 12 months and you're throwing him back in, and it's pitch count and all of that stuff. He looked terrific in the fall. He was full go. He was really good. I would say he has been up to 94. He probably isn't pitching at that or wasn't at the end of the fall. I think he probably pitched way more in the – you know, his fastball probably averaged closer to 90 than it did 94. But with that said, those people who have followed Hunter's career here back to 2022, he won us a national championship averaging like 87 miles an hour. Mm-hmm. So he's left-handed. There's a ton of deception there. It's a plus-plus changeup with a good slider. So I don't want to make it sound like his velocity is down or anything. Like, he is going to throw much harder. And you know, everybody ticks up a little bit when you go to Globe Life and you pitch against the University of Arizona or whatever it is. You know, he's going to throw harder, but he looks super healthy. And his biggest attribute is dude loves to compete and has never been scared in his life. So, yeah, we feel really good about where he's at. He's been great and looks strong.
Joel, you mentioned him, Joel Mangrum, Ole Miss pitching coach. What's the dynamic been like with him and Mike? Because Mike did all of those things.
Yeah.
I mean, he led the way. I don't want to say he did him on his own because Carl's there. Y'all are all a part of this. It's a collaborative effort. But he did that role, handled that as the main guy for 20 years, right?
Yeah,
so now bringing in a pitching coach, letting Joel work, what has that dynamic been like? How have the roles been established? I know that Joel's going to make in the mound visits, you know, and Mike will go out to just pull him at this point, stuff like that. And do you think it's been so far so good in terms of what y'all needed and kind of how it's come together in a short period of time?
No, you're exactly right. Like, I don't think you're overstating that. Mike, you're right. Mike did do it all, you know, and so that is some of the that's very different for Coach. And so Coach made it a point, and again, I don't want to speak for him, but it was clear to me being in the office, being on the field all fall, that he made it a point to stay out of Joel's way, like to let him go do his deal, to at least figuratively speaking, maybe he did verbalize it, but like, hey, I'm staying out of the bullpen. I'm going to let you go do your deal. And he has, and he's done an unbelievable job from a development standpoint. Joel's off the charts, like to see the gains in our guys, from a pitchability standpoint, from a velo standpoint, from a stuff standpoint. I don't think it'll take long for our fans to see, you know, the returning pitchers, how much better that they've gotten and how much better their stuff is. And then just the depth, you know, I don't think you can do that without coaching. And so, he's done an awesome job and, you know, I think Mike would say this too, if he were on the podcast, he's been better, you know, because now he can, you know, run the team. He can, work on motivation and anybody that has followed our program knows that's a real strength of his, you know, the motivational part, the team part, the culture part, those are, in my opinion, huge strengths of what he does. And he's been able to focus solely on that. And so, you know, I think it's gone well. How it'll go when the bullets start flying, we'll see. But certainly Joel's going to call all the pitches. Joel's going to make some mound visits. I think, you know, my guess is Mike goes and pulls pitchers. I don't know. I'm going to guess it'll be collaborative on, you know, who the weekend starters are, just like I don't make out the lineup and don't want to. You know, obviously Mike's going to have say in that. But as far as the nuts and bolts of how the pitching is going to be run, that's going to be Joel's deal. And that's what he's good at. So it's been, you know, I think our pitchers would all say that it's been a huge breath of fresh air. And frankly, I think the dynamic of the staff and the workings of the staff are much better because Mike's freed that part of himself up. And, you know, I think the mechanics of it have been awesome.
Austin Simmons, it was reported, I can't remember who reported it first, doesn't matter, we reported on the Spirit too, that he was now focusing on football. He's QB1, Jackson Dart is gone. But has he been around baseball? I mean, do y'all look at it that way, that y'all don't have Austin Simmons anymore, or has he been a part of things? What's kind of been the Austin thing? You knew that question had to be asked considering what the football season just did, what he did against Georgia. Like when you're watching Georgia and he gets in for that one drive and drives Ole Miss down the field and scores, are you thinking, well, so much for our left-handed ace, you know? Like, I don't know. How'd that work out?
You know, we certainly felt that this was going to be different at the very minimum, right? Like, this year was going to be different. It does not take, you know, someone brilliant to see, you know, how the workings of the quarterback position go and how important, you know, the spring and summer are to that position and the function of spring practice and all of those things. Frankly, when I was watching the Georgia game, and this is completely selfish, and maybe I've said this before on here, when Dart went out, and Dart's terrific. This is not a shot at Dart. I just have a personal relationship with Simmons, and he goes in and drives him down. I was like, let's go. So there was a part selfishly and personally of me when Dart ran back out there. I was like, oh, that's sweet. This guy's going to be a legend now. But I was a little disappointed. I'm like, I wanted to see Simmons run it. And then stayed awake until midnight the other night last week to watch him up 35. Go ahead and sling one a dime down the middle. We got to all be excited about what the future holds for that kid. He's a stud. He's awesome.
Protecting homes and businesses from the whims of nature. You need more than just quality materials. You require Riverland Roofing. Licensed, insured, and certified, Riverland Roofing offers not only the assurance of excellence, but a tailored approach to your unique structural needs and budget. To learn more about what Riverland Roofing can do for you and the community, call them at 662-644-4297 or visit riverlandroofing.com.
The NFL playoffs are better with FanDuel because right now new customers can bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets. Guaranteed. That's $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. FanDuel, an official sportsbook partner of the NFL. 21 plus and present in select states. First online real money wager only. $5 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets which expire 7 days after receipt. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. If you're running a retail business, don't let disorganized order fulfillment cause chaos. Use ShipStation instead. From running a business out of your garage to multiple warehouses, ShipStation is ideal for every phase of your growth. Save time with one login for all your stores and by automating tasks. Plus, you'll get the best shipping rates from global carriers. Calm the chaos with the shipping software that delivers. Start a free trial at ShipStation.com/audio. That's ShipStation.com/audio.
Some things you wouldn't mind being stuck with, like a huge inheritance. But a phone that has to be plugged in just right so it charges is not one of those things. Switch to Verizon and we'll pay off your old phone up to $800 via prepaid MasterCard for a new one on us. Just trade in any phone from our top brands with select unlimited plans. $829.99 purchase with new smartphone line on select unlimited plans. Minimum $90 per month with auto pay plus taxes and fees for 36 months required. Plus $830 trade-in slash promo credit applied over 36 months. Trade-in terms apply. Payoff phone requires smartphone purchase and port-in with new smartphone line on select plan. Must provide most recent bill showing payoff amount of eligible phone. Additional terms apply.
So he hasn't been in baseball.
No.
Thank you, Mike. That was a very simple question.
I don't listen here twice a year. You ask a question where I probably know the answer. Well, not probably. I know the answer. Mm-hmm. And as you're asking the question, I'm like, oh crap. Yep. I don't know how. I don't typically, I'm just an open book. And then when you ask these kind of questions, I'm like,
Look, if he wants to come throw some pitches out of the bullpen, he's more than welcome. You know, that's not
– I don't know what's been public – like, yeah.
Well, here's what I know. I know that he was giving up baseball for football, according to what we reported at the Ole Miss Spirit and other places as well. He was done with baseball. I just wanted to see if he'd actually been around. And I know that that's a hard transition, you know. Like, that's a hard decision to make, especially considering – he'd position himself in both sports to be able to be a major contributor moving forward. So it's a hard decision, and I don't want to put you in an awkward space where you got to talk about things you don't want to talk about. But
he's the man. He's awesome.
Great kid.
He will be – when he walks through the doors over here, he is always going to be welcome. So you guys are usually pretty good with your sources, and I'm just a hitting coach. I don't know what I'm supposed to say.
I'll just put it that you said it exactly right. You just said whether or not you've seen him, and you haven't. That's true. Here's my deal with Austin Simmons, though, man. He reminds me of Kyler Murray. Kyler Murray, when he came out, he could have been a first-rounder in baseball or football. He chose football. Austin's going a little bit earlier with it because he has to lead a football program. That's great and everything. But as far as projectability for him as a player, was it – as good as we've been talking about, you know, us idiots that aren't in every day, like it looked like he had top of the rotation potential and stuff like that. Like, was it as promising as we thought it might've been?
Yeah, I think so. The hard part with him, you know, when it was not here in the fall and see him in the spring, like just watch him do what he does on the baseball field. 100%. That's what they're supposed to look like super athletic, big, tall, left-handed, throws the ball 93 or 94 miles an hour, like 100%. Like if you said to me, hey, I got the crystal ball here, he is the 11th pick of the baseball draft next year, I'd be like, well, that's awesome. And yeah, okay, I believe it. Now, you could probably, and I don't know football, but I'm sure you could say the same thing over there, right? And so I get it. And again, you know, we, including last fall, his freshman fall, like you kind of have to, and that, this is the same with Plumlee and Ely and Ty and all of the guys that we've had in my time here that have played football. You kind of have to operate, like you're doing your program a disservice if you don't operate as if they're not going to be there. And then kind of what you can get out of them is the cherry on top, right? And so now I think it'd probably be different if Simmons would have come over here and been the Friday guy last year. And like, then you kind of have to depend, like that's your best guy and all of that. So we kind of operate as if they're not going to be there. And then kind of in the back of your mind, it's like, man, if they can help us out, that's a huge, huge positive. So, he's an awesome, awesome kid. And an incredible talent.
I'm gonna have to get a new like license plate because my baseball section over here is Austin Simmons. You can't see it throwing a pitch. Look at me, Clem. I'm having to change my own stuff up. You know, you're having to make adjustments over there in baseball. I'm having to make adjustments in the Riverland Roofing Studios. All right, moving on.
Life's tough.
Life is tough. First world problems. Projecting ahead now, where things stand, and for the opener. Do you like where the lineup is? What have you seen from certain guys that maybe encourage you? Would you like to see some more out of certain guys? Just kind of where is the offense? Because you don't, like you mentioned earlier, you don't have necessarily the known commodities that you're used to having. You know, like with Tim Elko's coming back, Kevin Graham's coming back. Yeah, you love what Judd Odermark could be. You love what Luke Hill did for a stretch. But knowing what they are, you don't have a lot of knowns, but you have a lot of crazy exciting upside, especially with guys that have come in from the portal like Isaac Humphrey, Mitchell Sanford. There are a lot of players that could become the basis of a true contender and bounce back team in 2025, but there is more volatility because you don't have those knowns. So for you, what is most encouraging? What keeps you up at night about these or about your offense for 2025 as you get ready to run the race, if you will, in a month?
Yeah, no, I think you said it right. We feel really good about, you know, Humphrey and Sanford were huge pieces for us in the portal. They're going to hit in the lineup in prominent spots. And then, you know, you sprinkle in the Hill, who is in the top half of the lineup, Campbell Smithwick, who's in the top half of the lineup. And then I think the biggest X factor is Judd Udermark. If he can stay healthy, he probably has the highest ceiling of any of them, right? Like he can hit the ball further than any of them. you know, his impact. And he had, you know, I think we've said this before, the most, this is his third year, and the most at bats he had ever had coming into this fall in a fall was 16 because of injury. And so there was a point this past summer, and I don't think I'm overstepping bounds, and I think he would say this, where he didn't know if he's going to play baseball anymore. You know, he just two shoulder surgeries, and I mean, one of them a complete reconstruction and almost a little bit of an exploratory, hey, let's just kind of see if this works type deal. And he was awesome this fall. You know, he had twice as many home runs as anyone else on our team, and was awesome, you know. So and he could, you could argue he's our best defender at first base, our best defender at third base, our best defender in left field, our best defender in right field. So like, he's super athlete, out of that huge body and a lot of power and all of those things. So big X factor there. But now I think I've named five or six guys. And so, you know, if those guys do what we think they can do, you're talking about a really good lineup. And we didn't even get to a guy like Owen Pano, who I just saw yesterday, the day before, was, you know, the seventh best freshman prospect in the country, all of those types of things. We feel really, really good about, you know, what our talent is. And so now it's just about putting it all together and see if they can be kind of the cohesive group that we've had for that stretch of whatever it was, 2018 through 2022 of really, really good offenses.
Owen Pano was another guest on Judd U with Judd Udermark, who hosts a podcast for us, who Clem says has crazy, crazy potential if he can stay healthy, more upside than most anybody else currently rostered by Ole Miss. So check that out. Riverland Roofing supports that, puts that on for us. Riverlandroofing.com, 662-644-4297. I'm glad you brought up how Judd can play first, third, left, because I was asked the other day on the Spirit, omspirit.com, and Food of All Three, sign up for just $1. You can get all this insider stuff with me and Clem. He doesn't come hang out very much.
Sounds like a great deal.
Thank you, Clem. See, good looking out. But I was asked to put together a lineup, projected lineup, coming out of Christmas. Ben, get me fired up for baseball. And I didn't know who to put in left field. I'll be honest. Now, this is where I'm an idiot. I just cover them. You're the coach. I played around with Campbell Smithwick in left and Austin Folley, who had a good fall starting at catcher in game one. Mm-hmm. I had Judd out there in left field, but I didn't know who to put at third. So I'll put it to you, hitting coach Mike Clement. Who do I put in left field?
Yeah, it's tough. I think if you go straight up, you know, it really depends on who's at other positions, because and Judd is the super flexible one in there, you know. So if you're a guy that likes Furness at first base and Luke Hill at third base, then maybe Judd does push to one of those corner outfield spots, probably left field. We have a transfer senior, Ryan Moorman from the University of Illinois, who hit, you know, 35 home runs over the last 2 years at Illinois, that would certainly have a chance to run out there. But then, as you know, philosophically with what we do, the Smithwick going out there is all, those are all real things. I mean, we've had plenty of guys who are not natural left fielders, maybe all of them, going back to like Dillard and Graham and Kemp and all of those guys. We're not scared to put somebody out there if they're going to swing the bat. So, I think that position, rightly from your standpoint, would be, there may be some flexibility out there, you know, depending on what other positions look like.
See, thank you. I don't feel like a crazy person now. The only reason why I didn't put Moorman in left field is because I was like, well, then who's DH-ing? You know what I mean?
Sure.
I went through the lineup. I was like, man, who is going to be the DH? Because last year it was a player who now is somewhere else that started out at third base, and then it's Andrew Fisher. Sorry, I'm not going to be a petty asshole. And then he ended up as a better DH. So, yeah, the interesting part about this team is upside pieces and a lot of flexibility, a lot of positional versatility. Yeah. Like with a Judd, with even Isaac Humphrey, if somebody else became the center fielder, you have a lot of flexibility in that way. Maybe not the same known unknown or the same known knowns like with Tim Elko and Kevin Graham and them, but this team does seem like, at least comparatively, now that knowing what we know between last year and the year before, Not to say that they're going to be better, that the games have to be played.
Sure.
But as far as how the roster is built and the options that you have more options. And in a sport that you're going to take a lot of hits all year as part of it, that depth really matters, and you didn't have that. It seems like that is something that y'all are encouraged by going into the year. This is a deeper group. We've given ourselves more margin for error. We have more talent at every single premium spot. You have to feel, I would assume, at least more bullish about what this team can be than maybe the last couple of years because of that depth specifically.
And listen, the thing that probably doesn't get talked about specifically with last year's team where we failed was we were terrible defensively, specifically on the infield. And so, and so that part of it, you know, there's some natural in the game of baseball ups and downs from an offensive standpoint. It's an inconsistent thing naturally. We were awful defensively on the dirt last year. And I can promise you as we sit here that we will be way, way better defensively on the dirt this year. And you know, that was at a premium as we recruited the portal and all of those things. So that excites me. You know, you're talking about the versatility of the whole group. And I guess this plays into it too, but we are so much better defensively with what we're going to run out there this year than we were a year ago. Our catching depth is so much better. You mentioned Folly. And then you talk about, you know, listen, we have all of our innings that played at shortstop a year ago are still on this team. And my guess is neither one of those guys plays shortstop opening day. You know, I think there's two other guys that we would run out there. And so just we are going to be so much better defensively. And if you can pitch better and play defense better, you have a shot. And so and I believe with every fiber of my being that we will do both of those things much better.
All right, last one. Where is Owen Pano on the Jacob Gonzalez scale of instant impact? Jacob Gonzalez, when he got here, you said it from fall. You said this kid is going to start day one at shortstop. He's going to hit in the middle of the order, and he did it for 3 years. Is Owen that kind of dude? I don't want to go by perfect game rankings. I want to hear what Clem, who's watched him every day, says.
Yeah. It's really hard to put Gonzo on anyone, but I did say that about Jake. Owen's really good. If I were making out the lineup, which the caveat is I'm not.
He's not. What he always says, what he's been saying to me for 10 years, I don't have the Sharpie. All right. Now say what's true.
He would play shortstop if we started tomorrow. So, and I think the person who does make out the lineup probably feels that way too. Although, you can get in big trouble putting words in his mouth. So, that's what I think. Now, I also was completely convicted going into the 21 season that Jay Gonzalez may have been our best hitter on that team. I don't think that to be the case with Pano, although I think he's terrific offensively. I think he's best served to hit somewhere 6 through 9. And I hope we're good enough for that to happen, you know, but that's how most freshmen should be. Jake was a freak, right? And so that's how
got traded.
That's right. That's how Tyler Keenan was a freshman All-American. That's how Kevin Graham was a freshman All-American in 18 and 19. Those guys were in really good lineups. We put them in the 7 or 8 hole. They saw a bunch of fastballs. They hit balls out of the yard, and they became freshman All-Americans. Where you get in trouble probably is, unless they are Jacob Gonzalez, you put those guys in the 2 hole, and all of a sudden, they have some failure. And then their experience in college baseball for the first time and on and on. So I hope we're able to set him up offensively in a situation for him to have success. And then he's able to earn, you know, moving up in the lineup and all of those things. But certainly he's super talented. And you know, I think there's reason that coaches need to allow guys to be superstars. And I need to allow him to be a superstar. And he's got that potential for sure.
Well said. I was mentioning as I was interrupting or trying to interrupt Clem, and he wouldn't let me because he's the alpha. Gray Kessinger just got traded from the Astros to the Diamondbacks. And Gray is going to be on an MLB roster for as long as he wants to because of his glove alone. But the pop is what came a little bit later for him at Ole Miss his first year. He hit like under the Mendoza line and still became an All-American, All-SEC, and now is going to be a 10-year Major League Baseball player, even though he is now no longer playing for the team that drafted him in the Astros. But that he's a good example of, for every Jacob Gonzalez, there is also a Gray Kessinger who still an All-American, still All-League. But developmental tracks are not all made the same. So Owen Pano, when you see the perfect game rankings and stuff like that, it's exciting. He's talking about dyeing his hair in the Judd U interview. I'm like, hey, just don't do frosted tips. You know, if you're going to be the shortstop, do full-on yellow. But you have to give him room to make his mistakes, to have his failures, and give him the grace to understand that if it's a good team, even if he does struggle, he won't be the reason why Ole Miss doesn't win necessarily in 2025. This kid's got all the makings. I told you, I texted to you after I did that Judd U interview with him. Man, he's like Dansby Swanson, like a taller Dansby Swanson, but like how he plays gap to gap. You know, he doesn't have crazy range, but man, the range is good enough. I mean, it's a Major League Baseball range, great arm. This kid could be a superstar, but give him some grace because it's going to take him some time. It did with Gray. He's Mike Clement, Ole Miss baseball hitting coach. This has been Talk of Champions in the Riverland Roofing Studios, a little house up top, riverlandroofing.com, 662-644-4297. Before I go, give me your one New Year's resolution that you made. Anything? Was it getting on the treadmill? Because I know you don't like lifting weight. So what's the New Year's resolution for Mike Clement in 2025? Mine was simple. You want to know what mine is?
What's that?
To be more present with my job. You're going to be seeing more of me now. I don't think Mike Bianco is going to love that because when I walked into the, you know, Swayze Field offices, he looked at me like, what the heck are you doing here? But what it means is if me and Judd do like a podcast, you can finally throw me BP, which you promised after we won a title in 2022.
Yeah, but you got to be here to hit the BP.
I got to be here.
Can't do it virtually.
Would you take it pretty easy on me? Or are you going to really like just destroy me?
I think it's way more fun if you get challenged.
I don't want to be challenged. I want to be embarrassed. But anyway, what is your New Year's resolution?
I have none.
None?
Win 20 SEC games.
Thank you. Sounds great, man.
But right now, when I walk out of the – I am 6 minutes late, which is fine.
It's my fault.
I'm going to go throw BP to Tim Elko, Kemp Alderman, and Ethan Leger. So that's going to be fun.
Tim Elko did a happy birthday to a friend of mine earlier this week. I'm sorry. I mean, leadership and friend, good peoples, man. Go enjoy that. Don't talk to this Ginger Shrek anymore. Bye, Clem. Thank you, my friend.
See you, pal.
The NFL playoffs are better with FanDuel. Because right now, new customers can bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, guaranteed. That's $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. FanDuel, an official sportsbook partner of the NFL. 21 plus and present in select states. First online real money wager only. $5 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets, which expire 7 days after receipt. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
At Verizon, anyone can trade in their old phone for a new one on us with Unlimited Ultimate, which means everyone in your family could get a new phone and stay on your family plan, keeping you close.
Hey, Mom, you seen my toothbrush?
Yeah, I'm almost done with it.
Oh, maybe too close. Trade in and additional terms apply. See Verizon.com for details.